Hey, TV Talk Machine listeners, are you going out of town this summer? Protect what matters most with 24/7 professionally monitored home security from Protect America. The nation's best home security starts at only $19.99 per month. For over 25 years, Protect America has offered award-winning home security with low monthly costs, low upfront costs, and locked-in rates. The other guys can't say that. Visit protectamerica.com/TV Talk to get $5 off monthly monitoring. Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine podcast. I'm Jason Snell, your co-host, and across the internet from me, your host, chief TV critic at The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hi, Tim.
Jason, how are you?
I'm doing okay. It's good to be at the end of the week where we traditionally talk. This is the finish line for you and me.
It is. As we stumble into the weekend, we just go right over the line like those when those runners collapse.
That's right. You barely brush the tape and then you're down.
You're down.
And you're rolling around in the dirt and hoping people don't step on you.
Big falls in your time.
Mm-hmm. But you made it to the finish line.
Yeah. I like how you fall. You've a lot of bouncing, a lot of grunting and falling around, limbs akimbo. It's good.
You gotta fall with style, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're gonna fall. And you're gonna fall. You might as well. Fall of a style. Yeah, you got to flail. Do some flail with the arms.
Absolutely. Like, you got to sell it.
A little drool flies out of your mouth as you make contact.
You may not know this, but there's still television being made. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we do have an update. The writer's strike didn't happen.
It did not. Mm.
So that's good.
Thank God. Yeah, I was happy that it didn't. I did a deep dive after we had our little thing and into what they were doing. And I it would have been a bad time to have a strike. I still stand behind that, but I totally support everything that they were going for. And I think I kind of thought that the positive vibes had been there all along for this to get settled. So that was good. Good to see that settled. Good to see everybody back to work. Now make more TV because we don't have enough.
One of the key issues in the settlement was about how TV has changed, right? One of the ideas, the conception of what a writer's job was based on the idea of a 22-week season, and that doesn't happen anymore. And also the idea, not just that there are 22 episodes and now there are 13 or 10, but also the pace of the shooting and the rewrites, that the idea was on a 22-episode show, your process would be pretty short. And now the process is apparently stretched out and writers are kind of frustrated that they're asked to do extended amounts of work on their script after the fact because the pace has slowed down without being compensated. So one of the big changes in this was to rejigger like the compensation window. So beyond, for people who don't know, like there's a certain amount of rewrite that is allowed within a period that is allowed gratis, that is part of your fee. And then outside of that window, they need to pay you for more work. Like they can't just keep you on the line, pay you for a script, you hand it in, and then for the next 6 months that's exceptional, but like they keep going back to you for more work. So this changes that window a little bit, and it's all really because of cable and streaming having changed the way TV is made in the US in large part. So that was a big, I think, step for the writers, that the writers wanted to start moving the union deal in the direction where the shows have gone.
Yeah, they just modernized it. It was overdue, and
It was like a network deal, basically, and the world doesn't work like that anymore.
Right.
So it's good. There's a bunch of other news. I have a new podcast that I'm doing called Download, and I will mention that this week we talked a bit about some of the stuff that we talk about, which is the changing world of TV and technology and how they interact. So people want to get that. It's relay.fm/download/2. Episode 2, but you know, because there was so much TV news, like there was a cord cutter numbers came out, and it's another, you know, 250,000 people who cut the cord in the last 3 months. Hulu did their big TV. They have a TV service now that they launched in beta. So to go with YouTube TV and to go with PlayStation View and Sling and DirecTV Now, there's now a Hulu service in beta that you pay $40 and you get access to a bunch of channels. So that continues to happen. There's a lot going on in these areas. TV continues to change.
Yeah, it gets ever more confusing. But yeah.
On all levels, there is confusion in these times of confusion.
You've got another podcast.
Of course I do.
Well, I'm
doing a little podcast transfer. So I'm leaving the Clockwise podcast and going to the Download podcast. So I'm trying to keep my number kind of steady state, but I moved from sort of point A to point B.
It was like a free agent period among podcasters.
Yeah,
like
I hung up my spurs in the one podcast and moved over to the other podcast to launch the other podcast. So
the transfer window for you and the plus 4-4.
There you go. Transfer window. Excellent
Thank
work.
You.
By the way, speaking of the writer's strike, Justin wrote in, and I might as well mention it now, when we were talking about it last week, that to point out that one of the good things that came out of the writer's strike last time was Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, because that was a thing that Joss Whedon did himself and produced himself independently during the writer's strike. Alas, this will not be the thing that finally prompts Dr. Horrible 2 from coming into the world, Justin. I did hear from people who have told me behind the scenes reports of how a lot of TV shows were salting away scripts, fearing the writer's strike, that there was a lot of let's try to get scripts in or even draft scripts in early in case they had a work stoppage so that they would have something to work from. But that's when you get bad TV, is when you end up taking a draft script and the strike lengthens, and then you either shoot the draft or you make very few changes at the very end of the process when the strike is over, and you get lousy, bad written TV because it's like strike TV and it's no good. It's like scab. It's not scab TV, I guess, but it's like the next worst thing, which is
it's rushed TV.
Kind of emergency script kind of stuff. So now they can simmer down. No strike. There's a deal. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, so Sense8 is coming back, which is the show that you gave an okay review to, and then like watched the whole thing and said it's actually pretty good. I think you put it on your best list a couple years ago, and now it's back for season two after its Christmas special. How very British of them. There's now a season two. So, and your review is up at the Hollywood Reporter this week. What do you think?
It follows the same.
Still weird?
Yeah. It's funny how I come to it as a much bigger fan and someone who came to the show and wrote all the stuff, you know, really came to it late and did all my... it was one of the few dramas that I had binged in my Netflix phase. I really had a fond appreciation for it. And as it went on and grew and I saw more episodes... that I hadn't finished. And so I just really loved it for what it did visually. And then of course, super excited to come back. It doesn't make a whole lot more sense. And as I wrote in my review, I don't think that's really the point. I mean, they've at least got the backstories, this is not a great analogy, but it's a little bit like, and I think you will agree with me. Have you seen, I'm not sure if you've seen Sense8.
I've seen some of it. I don't think I've seen the whole. I haven't seen the whole first season.
Right. Okay. So what happens is the best part of Sense8 is a kind of like what you said was the best part of Lost, which is the backstory.
Right.
These character backstories were what was interesting, and the actual mythology is not, because flawed as it may be, is intriguing, but can kind of be frustrating. And you're like, oh, you can really turn this wooden ship's handle and do what happens, you know, that kind of thing. So I think on Sense8 how they use these powers, they were so slow to sort of explain it, and it was great because the characters in the first season are like, wow, who are you and why am I seeing you and how can I do this, and then they got a little bit more confident with it, but it never was actually conveyed to the audience that like these are the hard and fast rules of what they can do, and I think that that's okay with the audience, because the ones who are not okay with that are not going to watch it. They've already opted out of it, and the rest of us who are watching it for the stories and the relationships and just kind of the fun of it, I think it's entertaining. I don't think it's a heavy lifting kind of show. It's funny because as I was watching this second season, I was just like, yeah, you know, I'm not even questioning how any of this is happening, but I've noticed a subtle, like, could they do that last year where they kind of all showed up? I thought it was like one and then all showed up. But how do they show up and when and why? And I was like, oh, don't overthink it. You're going to get a headache. Just let these people appear in whatever part of the continent or whatever part of the globe they need to be to appear to make the story more interesting. How they got there, how it works, I have no idea. They keep adding mythology where I'm like, there were a couple instances where I have notes that I look back on and I sound like a madman. Literally sound like a madman. I was like, oh, so the black pill stops the what? What does the black pill do? Mm. And so it's
you just go with it.
The whole thing I wrote is just like go with it. And honestly, I find it a very emotionally satisfying series. And I was kind of laughing as I watched these episodes that like, this is my version of This Is Us. Like this, I like that. This is a show that's trying to, I can tell, like this is the cable version of a show that's trying to pull my heartstrings. And it works. I like these people. I think they're good at telling stories. I'm not sure the Wachowskis ever been great at like super script tightening. They're good at like fight sequences and awesome like visuals. I'm not sure the story arc is like their thing. So
no, but that's why they have J. Michael Straczynski's story arc is like famously his thing.
So he's
there as the writer. You know, they produced it and the Wachowskis produced it, and what one of them co-wrote it and directed it, but it's he's there too as like their I think their architect a little bit. So it's an interesting collaboration between the two different styles to put this together.
And Lily's out this season, so that's Lana. Would you say
Joe Straczynski? Yeah, Joe, Michael Straczynski from Babylon 5 fame, and right. he's mm-hmm. written a bunch of Hollywood screenplays and stuff now, too.
Well,
so.
Well, what he's done, I think, because I think you can see this in his, you know, he's even said before, he is known for that, and he has talked about how, you know, they're known better for other, and they completely write in absolutely different styles.
Right.
And he takes their stuff where they like vividly see scenes that maybe could connect or maybe disconnect. He's like, okay, let me see if I can bridge these all together, which is kind of funny way to do it, especially when it's just those two. And then
I kind of like that idea of like, it's almost like a dream where there's like the part of your brain that is generating the visual. And then there's the other part that's trying to weld it together into a narrative that may be actually what's going on here.
I think that is
between Lana Wachowski and Joe Straczynski, where they're like, we can make this work. We can do this.
And I think what he's done is, if you follow the second season, which I did, and this is moving, he's got it to a place where I think there'll be less of a, I mean, there may be some quibbles about how does all the weirdness work. But as far as plotting goes, what he did is he definitely took, because season one was basically world building, or actually just character building with some world building, confusing as it was. But what he's done in the second season, he's like, he's basically said, okay, here's our eight sensates, and here is the big bad. And we're going to play these guys, the big bad, against these two. And then we are going to drop a bigger storyline about what's going on behind the big bads. And then we're also going to, now that we've introduced you to these eight sensates and then their friends who are not sensates, but who love them and bond with them, etc., we are going to expand the world of the sensates. And they very cleverly do that, I think, in the first... Well, technically the Christmas special is 2 hours. So that's technically episode one and two. So... I think, but maybe not. Maybe it's so. Anyway, by the third or fourth episode, they have introduced a twist that I really liked, and it was like, oh, okay, that's clever. So I think that's probably got his fingerprints all over it.
Huh. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I keep meaning to go back to it, and it's one of those shows. It's one of those shows because of the sex, especially, that we can only watch when the kids are firmly in bed and not going to wander into the room. And that is a more difficult bar to cross than a lot of the shows we watch. And that becomes one of those things where it's like, all right, are we going to ever watch this? But we'll get there at some point.
Yeah, it is a not safe right? for work show.
Because there are the shows where it's like anything is going to be fleeting or it's just other kinds of content and I can just press the button or pause it or whatever. But that's the kind of show where if I pause it in the wrong place, it's really bad. And it's just really like, I don't want to have that conversation. So
no, and you might not be able to. And then if you try to fast forward your way out of it, it might be a much longer scene than you had imagined.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'll get back to it because I do. I was a Babylon 5 fan back in the day, and I love the Matrix. The Wachowskis movies are kind of hit and miss, but I liked some of what they've done, and I like the idea, and I like the episodes I saw. They look great, right? I mean, the international the Wachowskis have the great visuals, and then the international travelogue, right? The fact that they shoot this all over the world. So, like you said in your review, that you know, if nothing else, it's you know, beautiful people and sex, and like on postcards.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What's wrong with that?
Like,
it totally kills a great hour. It's like, wow, look at these beautiful cities and look at these beautiful people. And now they don't have any clothes on and now they're having sex. And now they do magic things. So it's fun.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Sense8.
That's the show. I love it already.
Yeah. Speaking of shows that we love, Catastrophe is back.
Oh, my God.
Your review went up.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it last week, but basically, you know, can I summarize your review as, yes, it's still great. Why are there only 6 episodes?
Yes. They're clearly not listening to me. 3 seasons in, and they have not listened to me yet.
Mm. No, but if people haven't seen it, it's just like good. This we brought it up when they were asking about like romantic comedy shows, and even though it's got you know some dark issues and hard edges and all that, the fact is this is on the list. This is one of those great kind of romantic comedy shows. It's about and they have a you know it's not just that they're a couple but like they're a family and they have a kid. That's the catastrophe that starts the whole thing,
right.
And it's great. It's just a great show. It's wonderful. It's as heartwarming, I guess. I have such an affection for this show, even though within it, you know, it's got, just like You're the Worst, it's got a lot of rough edges. It throws a lot of elbows, but still it's hard not to have affection for these shows. There's just something about them that makes you love those characters and it makes you love the show.
Yeah, I totally feel it. It's like, it's like an old friend and then they start telling you the story and then they're like, and then I, bloop, good. Gone. 6 episodes over. We'll start you again. I'm like, oh.
It's a really good friend who comes by once a year for half an hour.
And then flies back somewhere else where you can't
see them.
See
you next year.
Yeah.
It's too short.
It's very frustrating. I feel like a little longer version of that, just foreshadowing that next week I will be reviewing Master of None season 2.
Oh, good, good. Mm-hmm. Yes. I saw that was coming back. I'm looking forward to hear what you think of that one.
Yeah. Excited.
Yeah. All right. Should we do some letters?
We should, but I when you said when we talked briefly about
I saw,
to avoid scenes that someone might walk in on and see, I thought, well, that applies to American Gods as well.
Yeah, you know, I did. I have to admit that I did the. So I've got a move that I do that my wife probably knows well at this point, which is we're sitting on the couch and we're watching TV, and it's late enough that my son's in bed,
right?
My 12-year-old.
Yeah.
But my daughter is now a teenager a high school student. So she's up like later than we are. In the last year, we have gone from her going to bed, us telling her to go to bed, to we go to bed and she's just rummaging around in her room and stuff. Yep. And we're like, I don't even know what's going on. Just let's not even
know
ask.
What's going on. Yeah.
Right. and so American Gods is one of those shows where I had to do that move, which is I have to listen. And then I do the like over the shoulder look glance, and it's to see if my daughter is coming or has come back out into the room, because I need to be on that just that extra guard of, and then she's a teenager, she probably could see anything. Mm-hmm. But again, like I'm afraid of her being exposed to this stuff. It's just like, I don't want to have the conversation, nor do I want to have, well, I mean, ultimately, I don't want to have the conversation of like, what is going on? What show are you watching? It's like, honey, I don't want to talk about it. So instead, I just kind of keep craning my neck and listening for little creaks in the floor and my finger on the big button that's just going to blank everything out.
Oh, Well, if you can, I can sum up that anxiety in my little nutshell, my new nutshell review of how somebody asked me, because they knew that my daughter was reading the book. She's probably finished with it now, but she's been reading the book and wants to watch it. And they said, have you let her watch her yet? I was like, you know, I told her she could, she's reading the book, you know, and she's sophisticated and smart, and I'm trying not to shield her from things. But like, I almost want to like forget that I said she could watch it. I'm sure she'll nag me to watch it at some point. And like, why? I said, because if I had to sum up the show, it would be basically, there's buckets of blood.
Buckets of blood.
Enormous cocks. And...
yeah, which we haven't, those of us just viewing episode one, we haven't gotten to the enormous cocks yet.
They're coming, and they're very big.
Oh, they're coming, you say?
Oh,
all right.
Oh, boy, see?
I'm going to check the box. just as a content,
I just kind of walked right into
content
that
warning.
One.
Content warning. Content warning.
Yeah, I walked right into that one. And then there is a woman who devours people through her vagina.
Yes, yes. That's in episode one. Yeah.
So that was met with... you know, tears falling off this person's face of like, well, that's probably a good way to explain it to your 16-year-old daughter. Yeah. That's, I was like, yeah, I just, you know, whatever. Just like, there you go, kids.
Yeah. The buckets of blood. I was a little surprised by it.
Blood.
Although you said, I mean, no, it's not like those of us, like you called out like Daredevil for being like blood porn. Right. But it's like Daredevil is so chaste and innocent compared to this is like
in
fact
Spartacus level.
In fact, I would argue actually like it turned my wife off. She was like, I don't know about this. Yeah. For me, I got over it because it's so ludicrous.
Yeah,
that I just took it as being a stylized whatever. Like I can't view it as real. It's just laughably over the top, stylized violence because. Which I know is a weird way to put it, but it's like beyond a certain point, there's so much blood that there's no way there could be that much blood. And then it's just like, okay, I guess this blood is a metaphor. So, I mean, it's just because it's just not even possible that there could be that much. So it's just so then I shrug it off and I'm like, okay, great. This is that's what the show is. So fair enough.
Yeah, it is. There's at least one scene in there where it's like literally raining blood. Like the whole screen is there's.
Yeah, it's like somebody's had a bucket full of blood and is just pouring it out in a stream, like a big stream, like a little waterfall of blood. And it's like, okay.
And a bunch of blood interns are right behind them with buckets,
certainly.
And they're throwing the buckets as well. Like, let's get the unpaid blood interns in here.
Can we get the extra blood?
Dip them and throw them. Yeah. Dip and throw, people. This is what we do. This is how we make TV in America. Oh my God, there's so much blood. Yeah, that show is so inappropriate on so many levels. But now that we've got the box checked, I think I went through four or five episodes, and I was just like, this is like, you know, there was a whole article that was written. Wesley Morris, his friend of mine, did an amazing story, a personal story, as a leaping off point from the full frontal male nudity that's in Westworld, and talking about, male nudity and what that means, like it's the last frontier, and et cetera. And there was a lot of talk around that by saying, it's like there's an enormous cock on the screen. And like, you can't like get around it. There's they make a joke about it in the show. So I was like, when I was watching this after five episodes, I'm like, these guys took it as a challenge. It's like Star said, Oh, you think you know a large penis when you see one, HBO. Here's like four or five other ones that are just incomprehensibly enormous. So there you go. Someone can look forward to that.
Okay. I enjoyed episode one. That's the bottom line. I enjoyed it. Having read the book, I watched the episode and went, yep, that makes sense to me. And so again, I think we do have this, how willing are you to be taken down this path where it will take a little while for you to get the whole picture, because it is the way the book is structured and people love the book. Mm-hmm. So you just got to be patient. Cause I will say, cause your review is sort of like, does it make sense? I don't know. I hope it will eventually. I can say if they stick to the book, it will make sense eventually, because the book makes sense eventually. It just takes a little while and they're going slow. I think they said the first season is the first 100 pages of the book. So it's not a lot. And, yeah. So, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. So for what it's worth,
it's confusing, and I'm going to go with it. But I've seen four I think. I've seen four.
Yeah,
so,
I think half.
I'm
right.
All in. I'm going to watch all it. Right. Blow it in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now letters. You think?
Sure, I think so.
I don't have. I only have four letters. Four letters. People need to do a better job. They need to step it up. They need to tweet to TV Talk Machine at TVTM. They need to email us podcast@TVTalkMachine.com, and they need to post in the Facebook group, facebook.com/TVTalkMachine. These are the things they need to do if they want their letters to be read. But these four people did it. First is Cheersten from the 603. And she writes, long-time listener, first-time questioner. My query is unrelated to last week's podcast. That's fine. Not every letter has to be follow-up from the previous week. We like new stuff, too.
Yes.
She says, this week, A&E announced that with the end of Bates Motel, it was withdrawing from the scripted game to focus on reality shows. Mm. In this age of uber peak TV, do you think this might mark the beginning of a surrender by all those dabblers who helped flood the market, or do you think it's just an anomaly?
Others have done it already, but this is more of the same. It's not a trend yet. It's not like a. It's currently maybe a trickle, slightly more of the spigot. It's not turned all the way on yet, but yeah, I think it's going to happen. It was inevitable. It's a lot of money, and A&E is a company that has a lot of money. So what about the ones that don't? So yeah, it's. I think we're going to see people pulling out of the game a little bit. Yeah.
All right. We'll keep watching. Let's see if there's a trend here. Next letter, the tweet actually from Rob, who tweets, do you think the recent news of the Amazon app coming to the Apple TV will make much of a difference? The story here is that Amazon has refused to put its Prime Video app on the Apple TV. So you can still watch Amazon Video on your TV via Apple TV, but you have to play it from your iPad or your iPhone and to use AirPlay to play it over there. And they said they're gonna come to the Apple TV. A deal has been worked out. Will it make much of a difference? Well, if you use Apple TV, it absolutely will. I have that right now where I have to use a completely different means of watching stuff on Amazon than I do on if I'm just going via Apple TV. Now, I also have other devices that play Amazon stuff, so it's not that big a deal, but it will make some difference. Anybody who's got an Apple TV and is an Amazon Prime person has been really sad that they have to like use their phone to play something on the screen, to play Catastrophe or something. Mm-hmm. They won't now.
Yeah.
So, yay. It's good. That stuff should be everywhere.
Yeah, I don't. You probably would know more to me than I would about either the technical elements for that or like a business decision, perhaps.
There's no technical issues. It's okay. All about Amazon deciding they want to do it, and that means them making a deal with Apple. Because, Amazon and Apple, Apple wants to take a cut of stuff on their platforms, and Amazon's mm-hmm. game tends to be things with low margins, and the last thing they want to do is give somebody else a cut. That's the same reason why you can't buy Kindle books on iOS. You have to buy them on the web and then send them to your iOS device. Or Comixology Comics, the same thing, because they're owned by Amazon. And it's because Amazon doesn't want to give Apple 30% because they don't have those kind of margins to give away. So, and Apple wants, basically Apple doesn't want any middlemen on their platform. Apple wants sellers and buyers, and Amazon is a middleman, largely. So in this case, it sounds to me like Apple's been independently negotiating deals on Apple TV for a while. Like Netflix doesn't give Apple 30% of its subscriptions when people sign up on the Apple TV.
Right.
I've seen a report about that they don't do that. Hulu doesn't do that. They have cut deals. So it sounds like Amazon and Apple have probably cut some sort of deal that finally has thawed this relationship. And it's in every consumer's best interest. This was always bad for viewers. And so it's good that these two companies have finally decided to stop it.
Well, good. I get mine through Roku. So that's where
I'm
going.
So you're all good. So,
yeah, I'm all good.
You're all good. Okay. Amanda tweeted.
Hello, Amanda, whoever you are.
Amanda wrote in about when we were talking about changes we've made in our viewing habits. She said her big change was network dramas. She said they're gone completely. I used to watch every 10 p.m. drama and love them all. I can't think of one now. And I didn't even think about it. She says, I hate non-prestige cable. I don't watch anything else on cable. It's just reruns of crap, which is true. So Amanda was taking what she perceived as the cream of the crop. And then the cream of the crop moved somewhere else, and she left the old stuff behind and moved to the new place. So I get that. I am trying to think if I watch a network drama at this point. I don't think I do.
Hmm.
There's some network comedies. I'm not sure I watch a network drama on like broadcast network.
I'm just trying to think. You know what? Wow, this is pretty good timing. I think I took off of I took the Blacklist. So I was watching the Blacklist and I stopped. I just noticed that it would pile up and then I would delete like five of them in a row. And then I also took off, which one was CBS series? Sherlock.
Elementary. Yeah.
Elementary. Sorry. So I took that off because, there's just so much stuff on the outside and my DVR is not that big. So
yep.
I love Elementary, but you know, I can track down episodes and watch them when I want a little mind break. Love that show.
Well, I mean, yeah. I guess the network dramas that I watch are mm-hmm. the CW shows. That's
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it right now. And let me tell you, by the way, a little nerd alert here. Report from Superhero TV Land. The CW superhero shows are all like wheezing right now. I think they've horribly overextended themselves. That's my opinion. The Flash,
the season's too long.
The Flash. Well, I think that, and there are too many shows now. Right. The Flash, which was so delightful in season one, is just like a death house now. It's just boring and stupid and it's really sad. So I don't know what's going on over there, but those are the shows that I'm still watching, although Lord knows why. Still watching some of those, but that's about it. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you know, again, it's CW shows.
Yeah, they're, it's really the ones that are making us hold on.
Wow, what a world where the CW shows are the only shows we're that
like,
I'm watching.
I'm only watching network television for the CW.
What?
Things change, people.
Wow. Okay, last letter. This is from Brian in the +44.
Nice.
He said, "Hi, Tim and Jason. Long, long, long time listener going back to the Fighting Talk days."
Oh, wow. Nice. Yes, the best.
Yeah, for the love of pod. Colin mm-hmm. Murray. Back hosting Fighting Talk now. Very, very nice. Soccer season's almost over. I'm an Arsenal fan. Thank goodness soccer season is almost over. He says, I feel it is my duty to recommend a great show to you both. I know, too much TV, but you are doing yourself an injustice if you don't try Line of Duty, previously recommended by other +44s.
Yes.
4 seasons, 23 episodes, one of the best cop shows ever on British TV. Your previous recommendations have put me on to many a great show. Now it is my chance to return the favor, and that's favour, of course. He says, Jason may struggle with the show as I'm afraid there are no aliens or spaceships. I've watched The Wire, Brian. I've seen things. I know where the boy's at, String. Come on, man.
Don't push Jason at the end of the week. He's going to tumble across that finish line. He will cut you.
However, he does go on. Congratulations to Jason for his correct pronunciation of Glasgow. Well done. Thank you. I have been there twice. I know how to pronounce it.
It's Glasgow.
It's Glasgow.
Glasgow. Not Glasgow.
Not Glasgow. Glasgow. No. It's like, it isn't Edinburgh either. It's Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that from my Lloyd Cole songs.
All the best from Brian.
Brian, that's
Line of Duty.
Yeah, Line of Duty. I'll watch that. I like cop shows. I want to watch some of that.
British cop shows. Could be a find.
I'm wondering. I should make a little like a little scale. Maybe I could do like an animated scale. It's like how many shows Tim says he's going to watch when they pile up. Like, yeah, I'm gonna watch that one, and how many he's actually watching and is obligated to watch. That one's still taller, but yeah.
It looks like I'm trying to see where Line of Duty is. It's on Acorn.
Yes, it's on Acorn.
It might be on Hulu.
What? Are you checking your fan TV for this?
I was going to, actually, although I hadn't gotten there yet. I did a little search.
Line of Duty.
You're right. I should just look on fan TV. I've been using that a lot. That's a really nice
It is. It's on Hulu. And it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
And it says four others. It says iTunes, you can buy it.
Yeah, Amazon, you can buy
it. Amazon Video, you can buy it. Vudu, you can buy it. But on Hulu, if you have a subscription, you can buy it there. So I think it's actually on, I got to say that I think it's on Acorn as well.
Yeah, I think it is. I think Fan TV has not got the Acorn thing working yet.
I think that's true, and or BritBox probably in their defense, probably not that one either.
Yeah, I'm actually searching BritBox now too. No, it's not on BritBox, so it's on Acorn, but Hulu too. So okay, there you go, got it.
So we should put that on our list of things to watch.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll recommend that to my wife too. She likes British cop shows too.
All right.
Well, that Titan Bright this time. Yep. I think we're done.
We did
it. But we will try. So we've got some travel coming up in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to try, record at least one episode in the next couple of weeks, if we can get the timing down. But don't freak out if we don't show up for the next couple of weeks. We will be back one way or another. But if we can manage to do a recording session sometime early, you know, first half of next week, we will be back with at least one more. But
summers are dicier, so it's harder to...
It's harder. There's travel.
We travel. I definitely have stuff in May and June and July, August, down into the TCA. And
yeah. Whatever. No, we'll work it out.
Through it, people. We'll hug it out.
We will. Exactly right.
We'll have our TVs together.
And David Lohr and Meatmaster Moises Chouillan and Dan Feinberg maybe via phone. There's other people out there if there's emergencies, but we will try to take care of you all. Yeah. So... All right. Well, you already know how to reach us. Just tweet things at TVTM. Come on. Podcast at TVTalkMachine.com and email. You can get us some letters and we'll talk about them next time. Tim, have a great weekend.
You too. Don't stumble too hard across that finish line.
Oh, watch me fall. Thanks everybody out there for listening. We'll see you next time.